One other item in the food allergy bill calls on the Department of Health and Human Services to define what it means for food to be gluten-free. The intention is to put labels on food to help people with celiac disease. These people need to avoid anything that contains wheat, rye, or barley. Until now, celiac disease has been considered quite rare, but a draft report from the National Institutes of Health suggests that up to 3 million Americans have some form of the disease. Joining me now to discuss celiac disease is Dr. Edward Hoffenberg. He's an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Colorado School of Medicine. Welcome.
Thank you.
How serious is this disease?
It's quite variable. For young children, sometimes it can be life-threatening. In adults, it can lead to significant anemia, bone fractures, and it is associated with intestinal malignancies.
So we know it's connected to wheat, rye, or barley, but what actually causes it?
That's still unclear. There are several factors of which we know some. There's a genetic predisposition that you have to have. Pretty much everybody has either DQ2 or DQ8 marker. Then you have to have the exposure to gluten, and then there's the black box of what else do you need. Most people with DQ2 or DQ8 do not develop celiac disease, despite the exposure to gluten, which is pretty much universal in the Western diet. So there are additional factors that are unclear at this time.
What are the symptoms?
The symptoms are quite variable. In childhood, they're typically considered to be related to the gastrointestinal tract: vomiting, diarrhea, abdominal pain, sometimes constipation. In adolescence, it might be just growth failure or delayed puberty. And in adulthood, iron deficiency anemia, fractures, and even intestinal malignancies.
Celiac disease has been called an overlooked disease. Why is that? And why suddenly has this gone from a rare disease, or apparently rare disease, to one that may affect something like 1% of the population?
Yeah. It's been overlooked for a couple reasons. First, we recognize now that it's more frequent or more common than was previously thought. And we and others have developed evidence that it affects about 1% of the general population. The second reason is that the traditional model has been that it affects people mainly through the gastrointestinal tract, and the symptoms were obvious, whereas now it's more clear that the symptoms can be quite variable or even essentially asymptomatic and then present in adulthood or later in life with these issues such as the fractures, the anemia, malignancy, a chronic skin rash.
Does celiac disease run in families?
It certainly does. It runs with diabetes, autoimmune thyroid disease, so that often there are many family members. Some might have celiac disease, some might have other autoimmune diseases, and some families have multiply affected members with celiac disease.
It sounds like staying away then from gluten-containing products is part of the treatment. What else?
Right now, the only effective treatment is avoiding gluten and gluten-containing foods, that's the wheat, rye, barley, for life. There are no other effective treatments, although there's under study right now, basically an enzyme treatment, kind of like a lactate pill, that shows promise in being able to digest the gluten protein to make it non-toxic. There is a lot of study on the natural history of celiac disease, a lot of interest in the natural history of celiac disease, trying to determine perhaps whether if you delay exposure to gluten from the 4 to 6 months or 8 months of age, would that then lead away to the development of celiac disease.
Well, thanks very much for talking to us.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Edward Hoffenberg is an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Colorado Health Sciences Center.